And he said things are bad now, but things were bad many, many years ago, the time of Christ there. They were actually pretty bad because, just go through some stories quickly, like Jonah, when he was supposed to preach, God told him to preach in Nineveh and tell him to repent. So what did he do? He ran away. Why do you think he ran away? Because in Nineveh, they were so ruthless and heartless in those days that they would actually tie somebody like Jonah up to a pole and skin them alive. That's kind of customary what they would do. So when Jonah heard he was supposed to do that, he ran. And he didn't run for nothing. He ran because he knew he was in trouble. And so I just wanted to say things were not good back in those days when that happened. And another thing I always get a joke of is when Joseph got thrown in prison in Egypt there at the Potiphar's wife accused him of something. He was in prison there for a while, and then after a while, the wine taster and the head chef got thrown in with him there. And he had a prediction over their dreams there. And he said the wine taster was going to get out in 3 days and get his job back and all be restored, everything. But the chef, the head chef, he was going to be beheaded. And I think probably, it didn't really say what he did wrong, but I think he was caught carrying some pop and chips around the kitchen. And I think that was probably a sentence there. So what they did to him was they took him out, cut his head off, and tied his body up to a pole outside so the birds could eat it. And that was pretty nasty back in those days. And the other thing was back when the Romans were in power, they didn't like the Christians very much, and they'd try to take out anyone that they could. And what they did quite often at nighttime was they'd find one or two or however many they needed. They'd tie them to the streetlight pole. They'd throw oil over them and set them on fire. And they would burn half the night, so that would be their streetlight for... They were saving energy is what they were doing, but that's not kind of a nasty way of doing things, so... We don't do those things so much these days. So, and the other thing was Herod, when he didn't find where Jesus was born and he didn't get hold of him on time, he decided to get really nasty. And he, in Bethlehem and all the surrounding areas, he ordered the army to go around and kill all the young boys 2 years and under. So that was a pretty nasty thing to do. We do nasty things now with, like we're saying, with abortion. I think in North America in the last century, we've lost about 75 million lives already. And that's like a complete generation to help support the older generation. So they're really missed. And I know in world wars we've lost to quite a few million people sometimes, but nothing compared to what we lost in the abortion industry already. And it's very, very sad, and I hope it does slow down and hopefully come totally to an end. So I just wanted to say that life back in those days was not always rosy, and we've actually got it pretty good this day and age. So... we don't have things like that happening yet, and I hope we won't see those things happening. I just wanted to inform you on a few things. One is in the newspaper there was students may be suspended if vaccination records are outdated. And I just wanted to say that here in the article it says Ontario health units are... They are enforcing the immunization records for school pupils, or the School Pupil Act, and this law requires all of the attending school to be fully immunized against is it diphtheria, tetanus, polio, measles, mumps, rubella, pertussis, or whooping cough, and the meningitis disease. And if any are not vaccinated or any vaccinations are missing, the student can be suspended. Now, I kind of like that what they're saying. First, they say they may be suspended and can be suspended. And it says the Halliburton Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit is sending out notices to 5,600 students, and that so they make sure they're immunized. And it says if vaccination records are not updated, or a valid exemption, or medical, or conscious or religious belief form is not given, students will be suspended from school starting April. Now, that last bit I read about the religious or the conscientious belief form was never, ever, ever mentioned before, and I was just really happy to see it's starting to be published now. You would never get that anywhere. You never get that published anywhere. And so things are starting to come along. I'm starting to be glad that some people are speaking up against it. So it is becoming common knowledge now, and they can't hide it anymore. So the other thing I was seeing in the newspaper there is about the Canada Food Guide. And it says, while Canadian dietary guidelines don't look anything like the old Canada Food Guide, they do leave some room on the plate for meat and dairy products, and hold that pop and booze are not any good, and water is all you need to drink. So they got some of the things right. But it says the industry objections to earlier versions of the guidelines for being anti-meat and anti-dairy products made some modifications in the final version. Health Canada now says, while many animal-based foods are nutritious, the regular intake of plant-based foods, vegetables, fruit, and whole grains, and plant-based proteins can have a positive effect on the health. It says patterns of eating that include animal-based foods should emphasize more plant-based foods and promote animal-based foods that are lower in saturated fats, such as lean red meat, including wild game, lower fat content in milk, lower fat yogurts, lower fat kefir, lower fat cheese, and less sodium. Now, the thing was that I had mentioned earlier that research does show that actually the best fats for us are animal fats. And we were lied to a long time ago saying that they will make you fat. Well, there's no proof that a moderate amount of animal fats will make you fat. It's the bad carbohydrates that make you fat. And so they're still trying to push the lean fat thing, and they're trying to get more bad carbohydrates into you, I think, so you'd be better customers at the pharmaceutical company later on. So goes on to say, Canadians need to know the focus on the modification and reducing the food that they are eating is not part of the Canada Food Guide. Those energy-dense, nutritionally lacking products like chips, pops, donuts, muffins, danishes, candy, and chocolate bars are very, very bad. They're not on the Canada's Food Guide. So, John, if you carry a bag of chips around, they're not on the guide. So they got that far. And there is abundance of research that demonstrates that milk products and various fat content can be part of a healthy diet. And it says, current emergent and scientific evidence now support that lower fat milk products reveal, or that higher fat milk products that contain a good source of animal fats are very essential and healthy for you. And it says in the thing, a report, it doesn't say what report, it says a report says that 80% of Canadians do not consume enough fruits, vegetables, or for a proper health. So we do have some room for improvement, but as I was saying, don't listen to everything the Canada Food Guide says, because they are trying to lean everything towards being a vegan or a vegetarian. The doctors have been telling patients quite regularly now to stay away from red meats as much as possible. And I say the main reason for that is because red meats are about four times as nutritious dense as light meats like chicken or something like that. So they're actually very good for you. Have a lot of anti-cancer fighting agents in them, a lot of iron and minerals in them. And if you cut them totally out of your diet, you'll be a better customer at the pharmaceutical companies and for the medical system in general. So I would encourage you to keep a proper amount of good red meat in there for you and good amounts of animal fats in your diet. And the last article that I was going to mention was, it's kind of an off-season one, but it's interesting that it was in the newspaper. Dandelions are so much more than a weed. And this comes from Lori Mitchell, and she's a registered nutritionist and a health and well-being coach. And she writes that, normally I would wait to write about what many people consider a pesky weed that shows up in your beautiful green lawn in the summertime, but I felt this information was too important to wait. And it says, this summer you may want to reconsider how you view the beautiful yellow dandelions. Not only does it make a tasty salad ingredient when harvested early, but it also has many valuable vitamins like A, B, C, and D. It has the richest source of beta carotene of all green vegetables and is third best source of vitamin A. It also contains minerals which are such as iron, potassium, and zinc. And the reason for that is the dandelion, you probably never got ambitious enough to dig it up, but a lot of those dandelion roots go down 3 or 4 feet into the ground and they pick up a lot of the minerals that are way down there and bring them up to the surface. So if you're not getting enough minerals, eat some more dandelions. So the Chinese medicine, they used it for that a long time ago, and helped with toxins in the blood, and some conditions include the jaundice, urinary tract infection, red or swollen eyes, hepatitis, abscesses. It also can be used to treat gallbladder, kidney, joint issues. Dandelion leaves can act as a diuretic, can be used to treat constipation. That's just in case you take any more of those muscle pills that you had there, John. So, where was I? Oh, yeah, it also treats, it's amazing. It can treat constipation and diarrhea both. So I guess if you take two chews at one time or one chew at one time, whatever condition you have. So heartburn, indigestion, stomach issues, and skin problems, and swelling. Today, as the most used for dandelions is for detoxifying the liver, flushing out fat deposits from the liver, purifying the blood, and increasing the production of bile. These properties come more from the root of the plant. And recently, research from the University of Windsor detected that to test the blood to purify the properties of the dandelion against cancer cells. They did this by inserting dandelion root extract into a petri dish with blood drawn from leukemia patients and also from lab rats who suffered from cancer. They were pleased when the dandelion root induced an antipoptosis, or a, what they call a suicide cell, in the cancer cells. So it actually destroyed the cancer cells while leaving the healthy cells untouched. So that was quite a thing, that, and they were allowed to print that. Nobody's taken that away yet. So in traditional cancer treatments, the radiation and the chemotherapy kills everything. It kills the healthy cells and the bad cells. And so with a dandelion root, the ability to leave the healthy cells and to kill only the cancer cells is quite a feat there. And it says, due to the amazing results, dandelions are allowed to be tested on 30 Canadian cancer patients, which makes it the first time in Canada that the natural extract has been allowed to be approved for clinical trial. So that's a pretty great thing. Talking about dandelions, we sit there and try to, I know, like my mother, she's crazy whenever she sees a dandelion come up, she'll run over the lawn and pull them all out and throw them all in the garbage and everything. And I says, maybe they're pretty good. But a friend of mine, when I was on a trip to Mexico, I was talking to John and Julia there, and they knew Danny Curl from Africa there. He was in Zimbabwe. He's been a missionary there for, gosh, almost 45 years or something like that. But anyways, he came to Canada one time, and sometimes the food issues are quite lean in Africa. So he was out here thinking, we have all these dandelions here, and we have none in Africa where I am. So what he did was he got a whole bunch of bags of dandelion seed, and he smuggled them in a suitcase, and he brought them to Africa. And then so wherever he walked, he would keep some dandelion seeds in his pocket. He says every ditch, every lawn that he went across, he threw some dandelion seeds on, and he thought that would be the answer to a lot of the food problems in Africa. Well, lo and behold, not one of them germinated, not one of them grew. So I just wanted to say that we are blessed to have real dandelions here. So just remember that next time you see those beautiful dandelions out there, and maybe throw a few in your salad there, and you'll jump twice as high as you did the day before. And I just wanted to finish off by an interesting little article I heard. It's why English is hard to learn. It says, we'll begin with box. The plural is boxes. But the plural of ox is oxen, not oxes. One fowl is a goose. Two are called geese. Yet the plural of moose is never meese. You may find the lone mouse in a house full of mice. But the plural of house is houses, not heese. The plural of man of men or of man is men, but the plural of pan is never pen. If I speak of a foot and you show me both feet, I will give you a book. Would a pear ever be called a beak? If one is a tooth and a whole set is a teeth, why wouldn't two bottles be called a beeth, or two booth be called a beeth? I haven't learned how to read properly yet. If I have to bring my own flashlight. If the singular of this and the plural is these, should the plural of kiss ever be called a keys? We speak of a brother and also of brethren, but we say mother, we never say metherin. And then the masculine pronouns are he, his, and him. But imagine the feminine being she, shiz, and shim. Anyways, God bless you, and Have a great day.
That's funny.
I do want to say something quick. Some people ask me in our church why we do different things that we do. Is because the objective of our church is not just to so I'm the boss and I can be a pastor and I can put Pastor John Trotter or Dr. John. It's because we want to help people here in our community. And one thing that I know that I've known since Harry's come, he's helped some people. He's made other people ugly. But he's caused people to study. And you know how the Bible says about the Word of God? Study and show yourself, right, that you can understand. Because a lot of people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And that's why we preach. And some people don't like what I say, sometimes do. I remember one time years ago, and then I got a bunch of stuff to say. But years ago, I had a guy come to me that was really upset because I let the youth play music, loud music in our church. And I never said nothing to, like, well, drums are of the devil or this. I didn't even say nothing. I just said, I'm sorry you feel like that. And they came back about 3 weeks later, and he apologized to me. And I said, why are you apologizing? He said, well, I got really mad at you. And I knew he was upset, but I didn't think he was really mad at me. And he said, I was really mad at you, but then I got into the Word of God to see what the Bible said. And he said, I got to where the Bible says to make a loud noise with a cymbal and make a loud noise with this, make a loud noise. And he said, I guess it's not wrong. I just don't like it. But at least he told me, right? And so it causes us to sometimes, if you're hearing somebody say something that you don't like, what do you usually do? Google it. Right? You try to find out if what they're saying, you're trying to prove what they're saying is wrong. And you might find that what they're saying is right or what's wrong, but it's causing you to do something. It's the same with the Word of God. And just about dandelions, my mom and dad always help people, love people. And do you remember Florence Strong? Does anybody ever remember Florence Strong? Florence Strong was she died back a few years ago, but a really elderly lady, and she lived really, really healthy her whole life. And my brother and I were pretty wild when we were younger. And she babysat for us or was at our house looking after us. But she didn't need to look after us. And she got me and Ray. Were you there when she made us food? That's why I hated health food. It was the worst taste and stuff. And then she made me a salad. And I like salad. I actually like salad. Like salad and ranch or your Caesar salad and that kind of stuff. Well, I just barreled right into this salad and I ate it. And it was the most bitter thing I ever ate in my life. And I spit it out and I said, Florence, what is this? Well, she said, it's all the wonderful things God give us. Dandelions. She said, it's the most healthy thing that you can take from your lawn. And I said, whoa. But you know, that lady lived healthy and smart into her 90s and knew everything that was going on. And so I thought later on, maybe she never enjoyed eating ever, I don't think. Because anything she ate was terrible tasting. But she was healthy and she was smart right to the very end. And she pretty near lived 100. So I think maybe what she did do and what she said, like my dad, even my dad tried to, well, my dad didn't like eat healthy, but my does anybody ever know my dad? My dad liked to eat food that tastes good. And she'd make him food and he'd eat it. And then when she'd leave, he'd go to the fridge and cook his own food. But there's something to it. So that's why we have Harry here. Because I know Harry's heart. Harry's heart's to, he runs an outreach over in Omimi. And he helps the poor people and he feeds people and he tells people about Jesus. And he's always talking to me about eating right because he cares about me. And so I've actually tried to study for myself and found out that some of the stuff he says is right on. But that's why I got him here. So I appreciate you being here, Harry. And Harry's my friend too. So I'm going to get this other mic on because I want to just talk. So. I appreciate everybody being here because our job is to really want to make a difference in people's lives, and we do want to help people. And one of the things that's been in my heart, and you know this, and I've been talking about it for 3 or 4 weeks now, is listening to our heart. Because when we listen to our heart, could you just imagine everywhere I go? So do you know when you're something's God's speaking to you about something, or you something's in your heart, then you're more aware of what your God's speaking to you, so you hear, right? You hear people talking about it from all over. And I've really, in the last while, been trying to listen to God's voice in my life to find out, because he said in many different places he'd lead you and guide you. And I was thinking about this. Could you imagine if people, if each one of us, just in life, could always see ahead and see the pitfalls and see the things that we should do and we shouldn't do and have guidance, wouldn't it be a lot easier? I was at a hockey rink last night, and I seen a guy that I haven't seen for many years. He's from Apsley, but he moved away from Apsley, and I would have been a boy. And he came and talked to me, and he was asking me a whole bunch of questions. And then he said to me, and I'm just saying this to you, because people are looking for truth. And he had some big issues in his life that he didn't know what to do. And so he just in conversation, he said, you know, I even went to a psychic and paid a lot of money so I could find stuff out. And I never said a word. I just listened to him. And I begin to think this. So turn with me first to Proverbs 20 and 27. And could you imagine having to go to a psychic to try to find out what's going on in your life when we have God? And the Bible says here in Proverbs 20 and verse 27, and I'm going to take my time. I take my time on Wednesday nights because I so enjoy it. I don't preach any different than I do on Sunday morning, but you can take your time and you can talk about one thing and you're not feeling you have to say a whole bunch of things because everybody's here. Because the Word of God will change our lives. And one of the things that I've noticed because of this in the last 2 months, and it's got to do with everything with faith, is most people in life today, I'm not saying everybody, but most people are trained to look at the outside of the man. Or they're always looking at what they hear, what they see. Their whole lives
are trained, our whole society. And I'm not getting into everything because that's just not who I am. I thought Josh did a great job last week too. It was just an amazing service. But I'm a different person. And I'm just saying, but you just look at society today, everything and every movement and every reason why people do what they do and why they're changing who they are and everything. It's all to do with, I don't feel like this, or I feel like I should be this, and everything's to do with the outside of the man, right? But the Bible says here, and I'm just going to read this one scripture, and then I got many more, but the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, and it says, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, and searching all the inward parts of the belly. So the spirit of man is where? It's the candle of the Lord, but where is this? Where is the spirit? It's the real you. You know, I said something, did I say this on Wednesday night? But my son said something to me last week. And he was talking about God, and he was talking about, to me, when we go to hockey all the time, and we do go to hockey all the time, and I mean, I go with my different kids, but when I go with Isaac, Isaac always is asking me questions about God. And he was talking about when Jesus comes into you, you know, there's life, and he says, how can we be dust? And when God comes in us, we become life. Well, that's a spirit, right? Your spirit. When God created a spirit, whether you're born again or you're not, you still have a what? A spirit. And that's why you've heard many Christians, non-Christians, documentaries of people that have died, Christians or died not Christians, that have come back into their body, have had experiences, not in this life, but they were very much alive. Many of them have seen things and came back and talked. Many of them have seen things in heaven, have come back and talked. Some have seen the other things and came back and going down a tunnel, a very dark tunnel, full of fear. And then something pulled them and they came back into their body. But people are very alive when they're dead. Because most people think when you're dead, it's your body, you're dead, and it's over. But what's really alive inside of a person is the spirit of the man, the real you. And so when your spirit becomes born again, the Bible says now the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. So what is a candle? It brings light, right? So now I know I'm just talking, but see, when he said this to me, I preached this, I've heard this for my whole life, but when he said, so when your spirit leaves your body as dust, it just goes back to, because he's trying to figure all, and he also said this to me, the same question I had. Like, and he loves God. He said, I love God. But he said, if God started, who started him? Like, how did he become? Because he's got questions, right? I said, I don't know everything. But I said, I am a guy like you. I'm probably simpler than you. You, because you're pretty smart. And I said, I just believe it. And I said, he's proved it in our life. And he's proved it with the trees and you having babies. And I said, and that where the sun is. And he asked me, he was trying to trick me this question too. And he said, what is hotter, Dad? Fire? Really hot fire? Or the sun? I told him the sun. And he said, how do you know that? But we talk all the time. And he talks to me about God all the time. And it says here, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. So what does the candle represent, right? The light. So the spirit, your spirit, is where light comes to. Right? Now let me read this. In Proverbs 18, just over scripture, because I'm in Proverbs, I'm going to read this now too. Proverbs 18, In verse 20, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. And then it says here, I was going to skip that one. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Woo! But in verse 14 it says this, and this is what I wanted. But it says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear? So I'm just saying this. Where does strength come from? Right? The spirit. Strength. So the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. And the Bible says here in verse 14, it says the spirit of a man will sustain. So what does sustain mean to you? But sustain means to hang on. You're able to wait, right? What's more, like it'll bring you through. It'll sustain you. Like, you know, they had enough food to sustain them for 30 days while they were in the cave. Or they had enough breath. I've heard them say this. You know, them guys in those other countries, or even here, that get these, what do they call them, where they drill down and get gold way down in the earth? What do they call them things? Mines. When they go down and then the mine shop, it was just happened not long ago, and they were sustained. They had enough air to sustain them like for 14 or 15 days till they drilled down. So sustain means it'll cause you to hang on, right? It'll keep you. And the Bible says the spirit of the man, so the spirit, not your brains, not your this, the spirit of a man will sustain a man's infirmity. So infirmity can mean many different things. All you have to do is look it up in Greek. Because that's why I look at certain things in Greek up in the Bible or in Hebrew, because the same word can mean 10 different things in a different sentence. Julia told me the very same thing, Harry, about the English nation, or the English language. She said to me that it was one of the hardest languages to learn, because when she's learned something, it means always the same thing. But here it doesn't. It means there's different meanings to the same words. And in the Bible there is, but I'm telling you something. Most people are always looking out after the outward man, or what it feels, or what's going on. And many, very few people are looking at the heart. And the Bible said this, and I'm telling you this because this is the one thing that has changed my life or helped me my whole life more than want any other thing in my life other than being born again, is having the wisdom of God and learning to hear the voice of God. I grew up, I hope you don't mind that are here on Wednesday night, but I grew up in a home with a mom and a dad that lived this every day. And I thought it was normal. And I didn't realize it wasn't normal. I didn't realize that most people don't even believe that God will speak to you, that God will talk to you, that God will guide you, that God will give you wisdom. I'm going to say something right here, right now, that was in my heart on Wednesday night. And I didn't say it. I did say it, but I said it after. But you know how the Bible says there's witty inventions? You know, in the last day, there's going to be many witty inventions. And I believe there's many, and I said this Wednesday night, but after we closed, I said this to somebody, but I believe there's witty inventions there for you in this church. I'm telling you, that will bring great things to you because of God wanting to do that inside of you. And how come the Bible always says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church? But most people are always thinking with their brain. They're always going by what they see. And our whole life is trained. But I grew up in a home, and this is what caused me to think like this. I seen things, and I'm not saying I'm where I should be. So I'm not telling you. One time in my life before I was married, I spent a lot of time before God praying. And whatever I did, I just prayed in the Spirit a lot and a long time. And there was a time in my life, and I didn't make this happen, or I didn't make it happen. But I knew things before they were ever going to happen. I could stand before some people and I knew everything about them. I was able to tell people one time, remember when we were praying and I was in the Spirit, and this is as true as is true as true as true. Why? He that hath an ear, let him hear. The Spirit of God is speaking today to your life. He is trying to help people. Just hang on over. He's trying to help. I'll let you speak. I just want to say this. He's trying to speak to people. But it's like a radio station. And when a radio station, our radio station right now is going out, and it's actually on air, and it's live. And there is probably some people listening to it right now, because I've had many people tell me that they listen to our church services and they love it. But if you're not tuned into that, you're not going to hear it. If you're not tuned in to the Spirit of God, what He's speaking to you, you're not going to hear it. And I believe we're in a time now that we've never been in, that we need to know the things, because we don't have time to make a whole bunch of mistakes. We don't have time to miss it. God will help us in our everyday life. He'll help us with our kids. He'll help us with our jobs. I'm telling you, I believe this 100% that God wants to speak to our lives. But he that hath an ear, let him hear. So who has to hear? We do. And most of us are so trained to hear the outward, like to learn to be educated, to learn, which is, we need that. We need to read. We need to write. We need to, but we're so used to that that we don't even think of what God would say. And I grew up in a home where I seen my mom tell me things that nobody else knew. I seen my mom tell people that stole stuff from them, and my mom didn't know anything about them. And I remember Ted Pether, he had some stuff stolen, and he asked my mom to pray. My mom prayed. God give my mom the guy's name who stole it. And she didn't know who they was. He didn't know anything. He just told Ted so-and-so's name. Ted said, oh, he just lives 3 miles down the road. Ted went over to the guy's house, into the guy's garage. There was all his stuff. He said, thank you very much for storing it for me. And he got it home. He didn't charge him. He didn't do anything. And the guy didn't know how he knew he got it, because God told my mom. I was out west. I'm just talking natural things here, like just everyday things. When I was out west and I was going through the native reserves when I was driving for the pipeline, and they were doing blockades and they were holding things up, and I'm not saying who was right, who was wrong, but I went through the blockade and they shot my front window out with a rifle. And it came in a split window and it went out my side window. And when you did the point of entry and the point where it came out, there's no way it should have missed me. Well, I phoned my mom. That was in northern Alberta. And I phoned my mom later that night, and I said, you'll never believe what happened to me tonight. And my mom said, oh, yes, I would. She said, we stopped the church service on a Wednesday night, 10 minutes before that happened, with the time change, and she got up in church and stopped, and she said, stop, Dad, Ward, we got to pray for John. Something bad's going to happen to him right now. And they stopped, the church prayed, and the bullet never hit me. That was an everyday occurrence in our life. And I didn't know till I got older that most people didn't live like that. My mom, I would be out drinking. And my mom would phone me and say, what are you doing? I don't say nothing, Mom. My mom would say, I know you're drinking, and you don't better not drive home because bad things are going to happen. Stay there. Even though I was doing wrong, God was still helping my mom keep her boy. My mom knew everything that was going on in my life, and I never knew how she knew it. Because I didn't believe that God was real. And the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So it's us, up to us to hear. I'm not trying to be weird either. I'm being truthful. I believe that God wants to speak to you and me. And we as a church have weirded out the Holy Spirit, that people think if you allow the Holy Spirit to operate or in your life, that he'll make you crazy like them crazy people. And he won't. He's never made me crazy. I've done crazy things, but it ain't God. I've done God things where I felt God tell me that were stupid things. That was just me being stupid. God's never told me to hang off a chandelier and spit on people and act like a moron and bring attention to myself and call it spiritual. The Holy Ghost doesn't make you crazy. It's just that people are crazy and they blame the Holy Spirit. So then people are offended or stay away from that because they don't want to be like them weird people. And I don't blame them. But the Holy Ghost will never make you weird. Do you know the Holy Ghost will lead you? He doesn't drive you. The Holy Ghost does not force people into doing stuff. The enemy forces and drives people into and torments people. The Holy Spirit leads you. He says, come. Follow me. Jesus said this, and I read this when I was first born again. I told you this, that I listened to the Bible on tape, and I listened to John first, because that was my name, and I thought that'd be the best book. And that's the truth. Not that it's the best book. But that's what I thought. I liked myself when I was young. And I trained my kid. It's funny because I remember me as a little boy. And I'm not lying to you. I'm going to tell you now because I see me as I really am. Without God, I'm nothing. But I was, do you know, I'm as big now as I've ever been in my life. Like, I mean, I'm not overweight, but I'm not that big, tall, right? But when I was young, I looked like Caleb. But I'm not as tall as Caleb, even. I was like not big, anyways. I thought I was massive. Have you ever looked in a mirror? And Julia will look in the mirror and she'll go, oh. And I'll say, you look great. My girls will say, oh, I'm so ugly. Do you see the freckle? And I said, where? You got to like, oh, there it is. Well, I would look in the mirror, and I never could get understand them. You guys are beautiful. You're not fat. Oh, I'm so fat. Well, I would look in a mirror, and I thought I was like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I did. Because it's not the way you are. It's what... Like, I thought I was huge. And I remember, this is the most amazing thing. I never ever thought this would ever happen. But Scott Hockaday was one of the toughest guys in this whole country. He would beat people up that hit him overhead with a baseball bat, and he'd grab the baseball bat, break it, and beat the guy with his fist. Tough, tough. Well, Scott Hockaday beat my buddy up one day. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I'm just talking about this. And I went up to Scott Hockaday, and I said to him, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? And he's like this wide, boxer, and tough, like strong. And thank God to this day, he just turned and walked away from me. He must have thought this guy's either absolutely crazy or he, and he was in church and he's given his heart to Jesus and he was here a month ago in church and I haven't seen him since that night. And I couldn't believe that he's serving God now because he's been through a rough life. That's what God does. It's amazing. But I thought I was massive. And then when I got married, when your wife's as big as you, I could wear her pants, she could wear my pants. And I knew she wasn't very big, and I thought, maybe I'm not the massive guy I thought I was. Because I'd put her track pants on and Julie would say, they're mine. I realized that I'm John Trotter with red hair and I thought I was a lot bigger than I was. I don't know where all that came from, but I know this. The way a man thinks will change your life. It'll become your outcome. And I know that God wants to speak to people. And the Jesus said in John 16, I have yet many things to say unto you. But and I'll end with this because it's 12 o'clock. Jesus said in John 16, this is a new Bible, I don't even have it underlined, but I know it's here. In verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he's going to reprove the world of sin. So now I want to ask you something. When you make a mistake, I'm just asking you this question. When you make a mistake, and you know you made a mistake, where do you know you make a mistake? In your heart. Have you ever said something bad to somebody and you were really mad and then you walked away and inside you knew you're wrong? That's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says here, and when he has come, he's going to reprove the world of sin. So when he reproves you, he speaks to the inside of you. He doesn't speak to the outside of you. I'm not saying he can't. I remember Uber was working for Dave Bennett, and he was cutting a whole bunch of trees down, and all of a sudden, Uber with his ears, right, heard a loud voice. Watch out. And Uber ducked down, and a log, a whole tree rolled right over his head. And right? Rolled right over him. Because so God can speak to your ears. But he heard that. But God speaks to your heart. And it says here, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because they go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He speaks to your heart. You know, I think of the years I wasted doing certain things, trying to get ahead. And I thought, what if I didn't do that? Where would I be? Well, wait, none of us can go back. None of us can go back. And it says here, for he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. And all I want to say is that God wants to speak to you, and he speaks to your heart. Now, I've got many more scriptures where about the Spirit of God. But God wants to speak to your heart. Uber, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
More than ever before.
Yeah.
And now is the time also, that's what I wanted to say, to this particular
chapter
to talk. Now is the time more to listen to the Holy Spirit than ever before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now is the time.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow.
Right.
Not from today.
Yeah.
3 days from now.
Yeah.
No.
No.
No. No. No. No. That's already over.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
And like it was this, like it is with us, all of us, that we have contact to one another.
Yeah.
Encourage one another.
Yeah.
Encourage one another.
Yeah.
Say good things to one another.
Yeah.
Lift up one another more than ever before.
Yeah.
More than ever before. We are. In
yeah.
It's.
Yeah. Amen. And the Bible says, as you see this day approaching, you know, we're not like we're, the Bible talks about, like, I've been reading this stuff, but you know how the Bible talks about, you know, last days you're going to have this coming and that coming and all these things coming. But the Bible says we're not those that are in the dark. You're not in the dark. Or a thief isn't going to come and steal from you, but when because you're supposed to know what's going on. How are you going to know? Because you know in here. We're in the light. And I just tell you, and he says, as you see the day approaching. And I hope that I see my kids and my grandkids. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back tomorrow, but I'm telling you, it's time for us to just hear God and just get tuned into God. And he's not going to make you crazy. The Spirit of God will help you in your life. And most people have kept him like this because they didn't want to be like that. And I don't blame them. Because I know the Bible says this, if you offend somebody, that does more harm than anything else. But the Spirit of God never offends people. Never. People offend people. And that's why you got to listen to God. Because he'll help you. When the Spirit of God, I know when God's been here, and I'm sorry, I will close. But I know here I've seen men of God, great men of God, come to our church and pull people out. And every time God put it in their heart, it didn't make people embarrassed. It brought change to people. I think of Duffy. Duffy Foster. Clarence Foster. When that man came here and called him out, Clarence didn't want to go to the front. But Clarence was having a battle within his body. I remember before that, it was like, he was like months and months he couldn't work. And the guy said, this is going on, and prayed for him. And God fixed him. And he went back to work. He was able to do his job. When he retired, he's had a job. I'm not saying he hasn't had battles in his life. I'm not saying that things haven't always been perfect in his life. But I'm telling you, that word was life to him and brought change in him. And he's run his own business for years now and been successful. And before that, he couldn't do that. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And we need to be open to it. Father, Lord, I just thank you and I just praise you for it. I thank you for everyone that's here today. I thank you, Lord, I believe that you've given us the best people in the world. I thank you, Father, for everyone that's here, Lord, that you would just encourage and strengthen and help. Lord, that we would listen. Just as Uber said, Father, we need to listen to you. We need to encourage one another. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for it. We need to get close to you, Lord. And Father, I just praise you and I give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, I ask you to bless the giver. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name.